Hi, everyone. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to take a moment to address the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the right to have a safe and legal abortion. Abortion is a basic healthcare need for the millions of people who become pregnant. Everyone should have the freedom to decide what's best for themselves and their families, including when it comes to ending a pregnancy. This decision has dire consequences for individual health and safety and could have harsh repercussions for other landmark decisions. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. Even if you live in a state where abortion rights are upheld, access to safe medical abortions shouldn't be determined by location, and it shouldn't be the privilege of a small few. You can help by donating to local abortion funds. To find out where to donate for each state, visit donationsforabortions.com. That's the number 4. If you or someone you know needs help, or if you want to get more involved, here are 5 resources. 1. Shout Your Abortion is a campaign to normalize abortion. 2. Don't Ban Equality is a campaign for companies to stand against abortion restrictions. 3. Abortion.cafe has information about where to find clinics. 4. PlanCPills.org provides early at-home abortion pills that you can keep in your medicine cabinet. And 5. Choice.crd.co has a collection of these resources and more. I encourage you to speak up. Take care and spread the word. Okay. Hi, hello. Welcome back to another episode of The Reality Is. I'm not alone today. Today I'm joined with Tom Hamlet is here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to hell. We're in hell.
Isn't it fun to try to dissociate with the world burning around us by watching these shows? And then you're like, this is great. And then you like go to the real world and it's horrible. And then you go to record your podcast and you're like, it is kind of funny, but the world is still on fire.
But what I also really don't want is what I don't want to do next year, assuming I'm not in a gay camp somewhere, is be watching these shows and they're talking about the Supreme Court. I don't want to talk about it next year because next year I'm sure things will be even crazier. So,
yeah.
I'm already if I have to hear Camille Grammer talk about the Supreme Court one more time, it would not be too soon.
We'll be in our individual camps. Oh my God, do you think we'll have Wi-Fi? It'll be shared. It'll be dial-up. We'll be
separate. The gay one, no, because the gays can't figure shit out on their own.
No, you have the occasional like tech support, no?
Yeah, no. I don't really think so.
And they're not putting the lesbians with the gays.
No. That would be helpful for the gays, not for the lesbians. I don't know what help we'd bring them.
You wouldn't. You'd just make them angry.
Yeah, they already hate us.
They'd be like, it's your fault, okay? We were quietly living here. It's your fault. You're too loud.
Honestly, it is.
You're too proud. It's
your fault. Oh, my God.
So, because I've been podcasting for many, many years, we joked around on my old podcast about right before Trump won, being like, isn't it going to be so fun recording from our very own bunkers? And here we are.
I'm not laughing later. Yet, but.
I'm laughing and crying. Laughing, crying emoji, but mostly crying emoji.
Isn't it? But what's insane about the psyche and the body is how we can process things so differently now than we used to be able to.
Talk to me about that.
Like, so much bad shit happens at every minute that, like, we're like, oh, yeah, that happened today. What do you want to do for dinner?
Yeah, like, we still have to eat. Like,
we're watching these shows and laughing about them while the world be crumbling, like, outside of our door.
Yeah, because like that's the capitalist hamster wheel that we're on. We got to keep working. We got to keep grinding away.
And God, I love my job.
Yeah. Anyway, Bluestone Manor, huh? Would you want to go there?
Yeah, if Dorinda wasn't there.
Okay. So we're talking about episode 4.
She was Airbnb-ing it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We're talking about episode 4 of Ultimate Girls Trip, Madness and the Berserkers. I don't even know. What is it called? Ex-Housewives?
Mm-hmm. Too many words.
Ex-Wives Club. Too many. First of all, wait, way too many words. They could not come up with a name of the show. Calling it Ultimate Girls Trip ultimately did not work out for them, because I wouldn't call this an Ultimate Girls Trip.
I mean, no. I gravitate towards trips like this that they're on. Like, I really like this. Same. Like, I really like a house upstate with nice dinners. And, like, that is where I'm 100%. In my happiest place. Is it the ultimate trip? Ultimate is such a dumb word to me. Like, what does that mean? Yeah. This isn't the ultimate.
Yeah.
The ultimate would be, like, we on a private plane going to, like, Bora Bora in, like, a mansion that's suspended above the water where you have to take a slide down to dinner every day. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of extravagant things.
This isn't ultimate.
The Berkshires are beautiful, but it's not it's certainly not the ultimate girls trip.
No, and it's kind of hilarious that both the first season and this now second season are just trips that the Roni women went on. Mm-hmm. Like, they go to Turks and Caicos. They go to the Berkshires every year.
Well, why wasn't it just called All Stars? I don't know. That's such an easy, obvious name to me.
I don't know.
Or also it's All Stars, and then put, like, the Berkshires or, like,
Turks and
Thailand. Because apparently they're going to Thailand in the next one.
Who's going?
Apparently, allegedly, all I know is that the Potomac women were, like, in talks, and, like, Giselle and Karen, maybe Lisa Rinna.
And Erica, I think. Yeah, I saw that.
And I think the SLC girls, maybe, which I think is a bad idea.
I don't want to talk about Lisa Rinna, but you just mentioned her, so I have to.
What do you want to say?
But
Beverly Hills is Beverly Hilling.
Okay, Beverly Hillbillying, okay?
It's a bunch of hillbillies outside of Garcelle and Sutton. Somehow I'm like back, I like Sutton again after last night because they were so mean to her for no reason.
I hate a pylon. Anytime there's a pylon, I'm like, everybody is acting poorly. Like, I get very upset during a pylon. But Lisa Rinna today, just like maybe an hour ago, because there's two. First of all, someone take that bitch's phone away. You know she has like horrible publicists, or she just like ignores them.
I don't think she has one.
Yeah, maybe at that point you just like don't need one anymore.
They're very expensive.
Oh, okay. Why doesn't Diana have one?
Yeah, that I don't know.
But
she should talk to Dorit's mom's black friend. Maybe she gets more info on how to navigate life.
Well, Lisa Rinna posted just like an hour ago on Twitter, sure, on Instagram, she said something like, you know, us women on Beverly Hills, we fight with each other. But when we fight with Garcelle, she makes it about something else. And if you guys are triggered by this, maybe, which some of you pussies are, maybe you should watch the Bay instead. I was like, so much to unpack here, lady.
You literally just claimed racism on herself. Like, she, what? That doesn't make any sense. She's walking herself into a very, like, she's putting herself in a corner that's well-deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's saying the quiet part out loud. So thank you, I guess, for doing that.
And also, you weren't even on this episode, so shut up.
Wait, yeah. And
also, Lisa Rinna, you are the shadiest person in the interview chair. Why is Garcelle such a problem for you?
No,
because she
they're the worst.
And Garcelle stirs the pot, but that's the name of the game. That's the show.
Yeah, Garcelle laughs about it every single time. She says something, and then she laughs. And I don't understand what the big deal is here.
Yeah, I really don't get it.
I hate it. Anyway, let's not talk about them anymore. Please. Let's go over to the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. And we wake up at Bluestone Manor in the morning, where Jill is trying to flex on these hoes with her famous banana chocolate chip muffins. But in my opinion, it's overshadowed by Brandy texting with her broken nails. Eva, I'm so sorry. I called your husband a mangina. I didn't mean to upset you. Exclamation point. Sad face.
I still don't understand what a mangina is.
I don't understand.
When she was explaining it to Eva, I was like, okay, I get it less now.
She said it. I think that Brandy is trying to say that men who help their wives, or not even help their wives, men who do their part of being fathers, of helping with the kids, of taking care of their kids, of, you know, doing the shit that most of the time women have to do all the time by themselves, that the way that Eva's husband is makes him a mangina because he's a man, but he's behaving like a vagina, like he's behaving like somebody who would have a vagina. But I think when she explains it to Eva, Eva's like, no, a mangina is like not a nice thing to say. If my husband is doing his part, that means he's being a man. That's a good man. That's a man stepping up. And Brandy's like, yeah, oh, that's
see, a good point. I have a different take on it.
Yeah.
I think it means because Eva is such a boss and yeah, like in her career, in her like just life, and is a great mom. I think that Brandy was like, I was expecting your husband to be like a wuss and not do anything like because you did everything. Yeah, because you do everything. But so when she was like, and he was like a, like, he's an attractive man. And he's also like, he's also like doing everything for the kids, doesn't ask questions. I think she was shocked that he was so like attractive, such a solid partner. Like she thought that since Eva was a boss, she was with, a pussy.
Yeah. All of it is bad. And I think, Eva was just so thrown off.
But in the end, I'm sorry, I love Brandy.
Okay, let's talk about that. I wanted to bring that up with you because I did see your Instagram stories.
No one doesn't like her.
Why do you like Brandy? Because I find her to be an insufferable human being. She's an irredeemable trash bag.
She is so good because the reason she's amazing is she is like the old school housewives who don't care about a product. They don't care about like a
brushing their extensions.
No, they're like, I'm just getting paid great to be here and cause some drama. And she just shows up and says insane shit, and she's a mess and doesn't apologize for being a mess. She doesn't care that she's on camera. She's not desperate to get back on her show. She's just happy to be there. I really don't think she is anymore. I think the Denise thing was desperate, but like
That was like 2 years ago.
I'm just saying in this moment, she's not desperate to get back on the show because I think she thinks she's like that ship has sailed and she's great. I don't want to hang out with her. But
do you think this is like who she is in real life all the time?
Yes. This I think is authentic her. But I also think that she was really, I think that the housewives were really, really awful to her on the show back in the day. They were so rude to her for really no reason. And like, just because she was younger and she was hot. Like, Kyle was so, I think those are Kyle's true colors, like the way she acted with Brandy. Like, that's not something the way she acted with her is like, you've done this before to other women.
100%. Yeah. So, I think Brandy is, one, I think this is exactly who she is, but I think that what happened with Brandy is when she came on her show, she definitely was mistreated by the housewives. Mm-hmm. But as a result, she thinks that when anybody has any issues with her batshit behavior, she's like, see, here I am being mistreated again. And you're like, no, but actually we have a point here because you are kind of a disaster. You know what I mean? And that's what makes Brandy for me a disaster, borderline to a place where like I would be terrified to be around her because I would just like not be sure what is going to come out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. She's like if there was a Christine Quinn Barbie doll and somebody put it in the washing machine by accident.
No.
And then it came out all ratty and messed up. No. That's Brandy.
That was savage. I like love her.
I know you love Christine Quinn too.
No, I'm actually very much over her. No, not after she appeared on Watch What Happens Live and did that awful. She was so bad on the show. Like, Andy was like trying to talk to her and she like wouldn't engage. And then she had a really bizarre timeline story about her COVID diagnosis.
Oh, God.
She was like, no, I tested positive for COVID. That's why I went to the photo shoot. And Andy was like, wait, so you tested positive and you went? She was like, no, I got a positive test. It was positive because it was negative. And Erica and Andy were like, what? And she's like, it's positive because it was negative.
And but can't like, you hear Brandy saying that?
I really think Brandy's a little bit smarter than that.
Brandy, I don't know.
But I really think deep down she's really not. She doesn't mean bad.
Ever. She's not a malicious person. She's an idiot, but she's not malicious.
I didn't say she wasn't an idiot. I don't know when you thought that. She's an idiot. But she the way she like the next one, she's like, guys, I'm sorry. That was really mean. To be honest with you, I have done many things like that. I'll say something really mean to someone, and then I'll get a text from Kix being like, that was really mean. Like, oh, really? It was? Was it that bad? And she's like, yeah. And I took it. And it's like, okay, well, I'll just apologize tomorrow.
I also love, like, even the night before when she goes into Vicky and Tamara's room to be like, hey, guys, I thought the night was fine, right? It was fun. And that's when Vicky starts choking.
I can't. It's so funny. Vicky right. was a little more Vicky this episode, which I liked.
Yes. We'll get to her. So we have the first I wouldn't say this is the first. This is like the fifth unraveling of Dorinda. Dorinda's been unraveling. I think last episode it started with the games where at night where Brandy had like a fun game and Dorinda didn't like the game that Brandy mm-hmm. had and somehow turned it into like a slight bizarre competition, which was very strange. But now we really start to see it go down. Everybody's having breakfast. They're very excited about Darobics. And Dorinda brings up to Vicky and Tamara, by the way, we cannot have food in the room. And Tamara, this is where Tamara messed up a little bit, where she was like, oh, okay, yeah, I didn't realize that. She said something like, oh, Marco brought us the yogurt. Like, Marco brought us the food. I didn't realize. And then Dorinda's like, no, it's on the plaque. And Tamara's like, what plaque? And that was her mistake, to say what plaque. And then when Dorinda starts to really go in on the plaque and all the shit, I mean, it was so fucking mean. And you have to be a different level of crazy for me to ever side with Tamara and Vicky. Ever.
Yeah, what was super disturbing about it was she wasn't drinking. So like, that's mm-hmm. what's scarier mm-hmm. to me about it. This remind and it. I actually probably think she was actually just really hungover and was having some. Yeah, I don't know. Like, do you remember that bizarre fight in her final season on Roni? They like went to that cave or something, and then they were like outside at brunch or at lunch, and she was talking on the phone in front of everyone, yes. and they were all yes. so annoyed. They were like, you literally mm-hmm. screamed at us earlier because we had our laptops at the table, and now you're mm-hmm. talking on the phone mm-hmm. in front of all of us. And she was, like, doing that same voice, like, no, oh, I was, well, because Hannah. And she, when she does that, she looks crazy.
Deranged.
And she looked, like, that's the Dorinda that won't be coming back to Roni. And
yeah.
So my overall issue with her right now, mm-hmm. I think, of course, this is a great idea. I'm having a blast, like doing, like having them all on Bluesome Manor. It's genius. They should do it all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. Do putting a show in her home gave her an ego boost that mm-hmm. will ruin her mm-hmm. forever. Because she planned everything. She called the shots. She thinks she's the EP of the show, I think.
She really does. I think she also,
she's kind of not. She's not not that. I mean, she's really doing a lot. Like,
yeah, she is. But it's not like she's paying for it herself, right? Like, no. Yes, she is doing a lot. But I think a lot of it is also being done because she wants to be involved in it. And certainly I would, too. If Bravo came and said, I want to do a show at your house, I would be like, okay, I have to be involved in all the planning because it is my house, right? Right. I get it. But I think Dorinda really thinks that she is the host of a show about the Bluestone Manor.
And I it's think like she thought that it was like Dorinda's home. Like that was the name of the show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Ultimate Girls Trip in Dorinda's house. Like that's what
she No, I think it was just called Dorinda's house. Like no ultimate, no housewives. I don't because yeah. they don't know what show they're filming. They filmed this before the other one had even come out yet. So
really?
Yeah, because the other one came out Thanksgiving. They released the first three episodes on Thanksgiving Day.
You're right.
And we didn't have a trailer until like a couple weeks before that. So like this is filmed in like September. Because it's hot still. It's definitely right. It's not October yet.
Mm.
So they haven't even announced the name, I don't think, of the other one.
Yeah. So I do think that she really went in there thinking that it was her television show and she was like Andy Cohen's little friend. Because even every time she sits down at dinner, she has to make like a, you know, daddy sitting down and gonna carve the turkey kind of a speech about every single meal.
Or molest the lobster.
Okay, let's touch on the meals. Okay, first you had that weird crab boil or whatever.
Too many fingers.
Too many fingers. And hello, I'm South Asian. We eat with our hands. But I'm not eating with somebody else's hands.
Well, I also have a real, and Kendrick's going to come for me about this, but I really do not like any sort of boil where I have to like dive in with my fingers to crack open my food. Like,
yeah,
it makes me not want to eat it.
And maybe we're just missing out because we're not from the region.
No, we're not. I've done it. Like I've been like.
And you like seafood.
I love seafood, but I just don't want to. I don't want to do that to it.
I don't want to be shucking and cracking and all that. I can't do that. No, thank you.
Sucking it out too really sends me to another level. I'm like, I don't want to suck anything out of anything except one thing.
And I don't even want to do that. So,
and that's where we differ. But.
Okay, you had that. Then you had this lasagna bake-off, right?
See, this is why how do you not love Brandy in that moment? She's like, oh, where are my noodles? Where's my tomatoes?
I just love the sincerity with which she was like, yeah, I added Cabernet and lemon juice because you need the acid.
And also, that sounds disgusting. Cabernet and lemon juice?
Here's the thing. I know people cook with one, but you got to cook that down.
I think
she gave them wine soup with meat in it and noodles.
She did. New York Times has an amazing 15-minute make-your-own marinara if you're ever looking to make marinara from scratch. It's so good. It's so easy. And it is the best marinara out there. I promise. It's amazing. Her cooking that, like, she's not Teresa Giudice, like, cooking the sauce overnight.
No.
Like Nona. Like, she was literally just throwing shit in a pot, and she's like, yeah, this is pretty good. And then poured it over the noodles.
So gross. And
to Dorinda's point, you do have to let it sit. You have to let it become a cake.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just throw it in, because then it literally is soup, baked soup.
Yeah. You can't take, like, hot sauce and then add it to hot noodles and cold cheese and then throw it into the oven, because it will just turn into mush. Like,
And the cheese will like curdle.
Yeah. Whoa. And then the sauce breaks and you get like an oily layer, which is.
The oily layer I'm here for.
It's okay. Yeah.
But it did make me want lasagna.
Oh my God. Immediately. Lasagna is my absolute like favorite.
With some really trashy frozen already made garlic bread. Do you know what I mean?
Like a Texas toast garlic bread. You know what I like to do? So let's talk about my lasagna for a minute. I'm not going to say it's a great lasagna because I'm not Italian. I'm just making it the way I make it. But I always do a bechamel base.
How Tom Colicchio of you.
Okay. And so I have a red sauce, but I also do a bechamel. so that the bechamel, when you let it sit, because it's butter and flour and all that stuff, it kind of does create that like base. And then I also do spinach.
Delish.
And I always add a little bit of nutmeg into my bechamel, so it adds that like something something to it. So like it's like a super cheesy whatever, but like delicious ricotta, lasagna.
Of course, right?
Of course, ricotta. Certainly not cottage cheese.
Wait, is that Dorinda? What Dorinda put in hers?
Yeah, she said I put some strained cottage cheese in here.
I'm sorry, cottage cheese is sick.
I'm recovering from several eating disorders in my life, but the thought of cottage cheese actually is triggering for me because I grew up of the age where you would get, you do like a diet. It was like the Mayo Clinic diet.
Right. It was like a healthy alternative. I'm like, alternative to what?
To what?
To soupy milk that I was eating before? Like, what is this?
Yeah. It was always like, have a grapefruit and a piece of brown toast with a scoop of ricotta, or ricotta. If it was ricotta, I'd be game.
Yeah.
A scoop of cottage cheese with salt and pepper. Anyway, I like to do that. And I put a lot of crushed red pepper flakes in it, so it's a little bit spicy too. And then I always make a salad that has like a raspberry vinaigrette and like gorgonzola and like all the mixed greens and some red onions. And I don't mind when the lasagna and the salad touch each other.
No, see, that's where you're losing me.
Oh, it's so good.
If it was a Caesar salad, maybe, but not that salad.
You don't do sweet and salty in that way.
No, no. Fruit and salad is often weird for me.
Oh my God, you're missing out. Well, it's so good.
Brian loves like a sliced apple in a salad. And it just really hit for me.
Will you do like a slice of cheese, like cheddar cheese with apple?
No.
You're missing out.
Is it melted?
No. It's like fresh, like sharp cheddar cheese with like a crisp apple.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I tried.
I know it's a thing. I do want to try a cheddar on apple pie because, you know, that's like a very like famous.
I've never done that, pie, but I wouldn't be mad about it.
I would try it. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Dorinda loses her shit, and then they go do aerobics. Can we talk about Marco for a second? Because I feel like Marco had a heavy role here in this food fight. I thought initially when I saw him with a mask, just like walking around, I was like, is that Kerry O'Donnell? Because like, to me, it's like a very similar energy. But I feel like Marco is really trying to make Marco happen, and I need him to like take a step back. Or do you think that he works for production?
Oh, he's not really annoying me. I just think Dorinda doesn't need him.
Yeah, why are you here?
I think he's here because they liked that Luann wanted to fuck that other guy. What was his name? Scott?
I don't think his name was Scott, but let's say it is. Turks and Caicos Scott.
Yeah. But also, that guy was, like, hot.
That guy was hot. This is... No,
Marco is, like, someone I, like, could achievably get.
Okay, achievably, like, definitely get.
But, like, Marco, but Scott was hot.
Yeah, Scott was, like, daddy, a hot Australian
hot
guy.
Zaddy.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Okay. But Marco's
leaving a bit to be desired in the operations front and the attractiveness front.
Well, also because, like, in the original show, right, it was, like, that guy was there. Let's say Turks and Caicos Scott was there because I'm 100% sure that was in his name.
His name is Michael.
Yeah, Michael. So Michael was there as, like, a concierge. He was, like, telling the girls, like, okay, we're going to do this and that, right? Like, we didn't need we didn't have the thing happening in, like, fucking Luann's, like, Turks and Caicos house or something. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm not even sure what Marco's purpose is there. Because Dorinda's running the show, or do you think that Bravo put Marco there so that Dorinda could take a step back? And Dorinda was like, no, not me. I'm not taking a step back.
Production should have known that she wouldn't have taken a step back regardless. So.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
that's true.
It's Dorinda.
That's true. That's true. Would you do aerobics as a fitness person?
As a fitness guru.
As a fitness guru. What do you think about aerobics?
Yeah, of course I do it. I think it's important to move your body. It always helps my mental health.
Yeah. Okay. You really sold it to me. I'm not going to lie. Aerobics is definitely the kind of workout I'd be happy to do because I don't like strenuous workouts.
But it did not look too strenuous.
Yeah. Do you think it was smart for Vicky and Tamara to sit that one out? I felt bad for Tamara because her outfit was so cute.
You know, I think they should have gone because it would have made good television them there. But it also was kind of funny them like running around the room trying to tidy up. In the end, I do love their antics. I can't deny it, you know. But Tamara and Vicky are legit scared of Dorinda.
Terrified. I mean, I would be too.
Dorinda is so mean. And it's just like a different kind of mean that the two of them were not used to. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that we finally got Tamara to her screaming place. Because I love when we hit that screaming. That
She gave us all of the, that's my opinion, realness that we expect from her.
Yes.
I met Dorinda a couple of months ago, right? Mm-hmm. And I was a little scared of her. Like, she was very nice.
Yeah, she's Carmela Soprano.
She's very scary. She has a very intense energy about her. And she does kind of have this look on her face like, you are blessed to be getting some of my time, so you better get it right. Like, she has this energy about her. And it's also mixed with a sense of warmth. So you're like very confused by the whole thing. So I can see why Vicky and Tamara are scared of her. And I can see why Tamara cried, because I would cry too.
Well, during the main fun, you should never make fun of someone for crying.
No.
That's such a low, dumb move to make. Like, you're better than that, Dorinda.
Well, like, also, like, to be so condescending, because Tamara is like, okay, got it. And that's when Dorinda's like, don't be condescending. Don't say got it. Okay. Don't say got it. Like you're some sort of a kid. Okay. And then she's like, okay, I got it. Like, I understand. I'm sorry. Word. And then Dorinda starts going like, what are you, animals? What are you, six? I don't know what you do, where you come from. I was like, holy shit.
She gets amnesia. She blacks out too. Because if someone had ever said that to Dorinda, if it was like, I don't know where you come from,
she would have lost her mind. She would set the world on fire.
She would have murdered someone.
But
with a martini glass.
She's so scary. I don't think anybody would ever say that to her.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think the right mix of people in that house. Jill was on. Did you watch Watch Evan's Life with Brandy and Jill?
I only saw clips of it.
Really good. Really great. They were hilarious together because, once again, Brandy doesn't give a fuck and just kept being like, Jill, you want to get back on the show. Just tell Andy. But Jill was saying that, and this is before I had obviously watched this episode, but that, like, everyone cried because of Dorinda.
Because of
Dorinda. And I was like, wait, really? And because we hadn't really gotten to that place yet, but seeing this episode, I'm like, yeah.
She's terrifying.
She's terrifying. And anyways, Jill does not like Dorinda.
No, not at all.
She alluded to on the show, but then also today.
Yeah. Brandy says that these women are having a housewife's off, the women that just recently left the show. And that is so accurate. The fact that Vicky, Tamara, and Dorinda are still navigating, like, this is their chance to get back, you know, into Bravo.
No, I think the three of them are the hungriest by far.
Yeah.
Like, by a long shot. And I think the three of them have good shots at getting back in. But there's something so refreshing about the people like Brandy and Taylor and Jill, who are so far removed that they really don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And Eva doesn't really care anymore either. Phaedra does want to be back on.
Oh, Phaedra is coming in with fully cooked with a brand new personality.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit of the old Phaedra mixed in with like a very sex positive whole situation.
Yeah. I think she is. I really think that she is lighter without Apollo in the picture at all. Yes. But that's not really something we ever got on the show. But unfortunately, I think Apollo really was what brought her down overall.
Yeah.
I don't think Candy and her would have fought without Apollo involved. I don't think a lot of things would have happened without him. He's just not a good guy.
Yeah, we did get like a taste of the old Phaedra at the end of the episode when she's on the phone with her son Aiden, and she says something like, "Well, I heard you were participating in the fussing."
Yeah. She's so in, but that camera was just a Ness cam. Like, that wasn't a cameraman. Like, she wasn't performing. She just is.
Exactly. That is like the old Phaedra. That's like the the way she was talking and everything. I was like, oh, okay, there she is. Taylor Armstrong. I'm very surprised by how much I love watching her on this. Mm-hmm. And I do think that she's a perfect example of like getting off reality TV, becoming your own person, going through a shitload of therapy, and then coming back and being like, okay, so I recognize that everybody here is a little bit crazy. That like wind up point that she did at that dinner at Brandy. It's like seared into my brain as like it's like a Renaissance painting. It's so beautiful to think about that. Like, she's so calm. She's so calm. She swings it around.
She's so not clever. So she's like, you're a stupid little bitch.
But, you know, sometimes
you do need that. I do love a creative, like a Nene, like, okay, hold up glasses. Like, sometimes I do appreciate the creative insults, but you're right. Sometimes a base insult really hits, right? I think she calls her a stupid little bitch.
Like, yeah, she says, no, you look
shut up, you stupid little bitch. And then at the end of that dinner, they're hugging. I mean, you can take a girl out of Housewives, but you cannot take Housewives out of the girl.
It just comes out of nowhere. She's wearing like dark brown lipstick too, so it just looks maniacal. It's so funny. But I love Taylor. I love her because she definitely recognizes.
I'm not interested in learning more about her stance on politics or vaccines, because I'm pretty sure I know where she's at. Because she lives in Orange County.
I know. They go to this tea party thing. It's cute. And at the lunch, Dorinda and Tamara get into it again. And now Vicky's also involved in it. And Dorinda is now mad at them for skipping out on Durobics.
You can't win.
You can't win.
No.
Because they're like, okay, well, we'd love to do it again if you do it. Which, like, right before that, she's saying, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And then they're like, okay, yeah, we'll join tomorrow. And then she's like, I'm not doing it tomorrow. Like,
she's like, I'm gonna be even more hungover tomorrow. I'm not interested.
Yeah, exactly. Now, why is Eva getting into this?
What, I can't. She got into that.
Yeah. What did Dorinda is talking to Tamara and Vicky about whatever's going on, and then Eva starts to jump in because she obviously doesn't like Vicky for good reason. Who likes Vicky anyway? And so I get it, because Vicky has been pretty negative this whole time. I do think going to the urgent care was necessary for her, because whatever meds she got, I do think Vicky's like mood overall just got
steroids.
Better. Yeah,
steroids don't do anything. All they do is just like, I mean, they do things, but I'm just saying, it's not like a drug for blank. It's just like, I'll just take some steroids, because it's just a jolt of energy. Like, yeah. I'm here. I'm back.
She came into the house with active COVID.
She fully has COVID. I said this on our podcast, and I'll say it again on every podcast I'm on that talks about this show. But when Vicky was melting, like, she literally looked like a drag queen at Day Drag on Pride Weekend in New York City. Like,
yes,
disintegrating from the inside out.
Yes, because like,
that's COVID.
Yeah, that's your fever breaking.
You got girlfriend. The Omicron boo boo.
You brought it over here from Orange County. But anyway, yeah, Eva gets into there and she starts getting involved. And then Tamara's like, you weren't even there, Eva. Like, I don't know why you're getting involved in this, which was very confusing. So Jill, I feel bad for Jill. I'm not going to lie.
I do too. She's really kind of breaking my heart. She's really trying. And so I think Dorinda really has this weird ego thing about like, you left the show and it got better when I came on. Like, I think she literally thinks that. And I think she thinks she's like a washed up reality star, which, you know, Dorinda is that as well. So, like,
yeah, exactly. Dorinda really.
Don't get too far ahead of yourself. Like, you're not far off from Jill.
Yeah, you're exactly. And I mean, we saw that in the trailer, right? Where like at some point Dorinda is going to say to Jill, like, I was on a show that you're no longer a part of, or something like that.
Mean for what? That you're not on it anymore.
Yeah.
Dorinda, you're gone.
Yeah. Dorinda has like a really weird loyalty thing, I think. Like even how like upset she got with Tinsley this season, her last season, where she like went off about Tinsley, like the toast for Tinsley or whatever. Like, I think Dorinda really, really thinks like if she's a part of something, she needs to like live and breathe it. You know, okay, Dorinda reminds me of this girl. I was at one point in my life heavily part of a keto Instagram community. And
I'm happy you are. I'm happy I met you on the other side of that.
Just barely. But I became friends with this one girl who is like a massive keto weight loss Instagrammer. Huge, right? I became very good friends with her. She even visited my house a couple of times. And I should have known the second time she visited and we went to like meet up with other friends, and that when she pissed in my car that I should stop talking to her.
Wait, but she, what? Mm-hmm. Like pissed her pants or pissed into a cup?
And like, so we were coming home from the bars and I didn't drink, and so I was driving and she fell asleep in the car, and then she woke up in the middle of the ride and said, I have to pee. And I said, okay, fine. So we found a gas station and she went to pee, and then she came back inside, and then we drove to my house where she slept in a bed in my home. But we're going in and she's walking ahead of me, and I look at her shorts and I'm like, okay, so she pissed herself in my car.
Y'all, if you cannot hold your liquor, figure your shit out and or don't drink.
Yeah, like this woman is almost 40, right?
No.
And so she does this, whatever. But she does this thing where she has like a full-on persona on Instagram, right? Of like being very positive and love your body and like lose the weight because you love yourself and like pockets of peace and all this stuff. And she reminds me a lot of Dorinda because – she is a love bomber. Mm-hmm. Like Dorinda is a love bomber, right? Yeah. Dorinda did all these things. She set up her house. She did the itinerary. She gave them cupcakes in the bedroom.
Okay, that's the part of that argument that didn't make any sense to me. That if there's anything that will make rodents come there, as opposed to just leaving cupcakes on a nightstand.
Four cupcakes in each box.
That's a recipe for bugs.
That's a recipe for rodents, okay? Yeah. You're going to be ratatouille in your house soon, Dorinda. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Don't blame it on Tamara and Vicky. But she love bombs. And then she, if you don't react in the way that she's expecting you to react, she loses her shit. And when she drinks, it gets worse. Mm-hmm. And I remember this person that I unfortunately was friends with for way too long did do the exact same thing. And eventually, like, lost her mind and, like, went off on a whole bunch of us about very similar things. And it just makes me very sad for Dorinda because she does have a daughter. It's also frustrating because Dorinda is so right on so many other things, but she's still overall like being such a shitty person. And I loved Dorinda before this.
Yeah, the love bombing too is not new, because I was just thinking when you're talking about all that, like when she gave Bethany the nutcracker. And it was like, yes, this huge deal because Bethany didn't like jump from the ceiling screaming, crying at it. And it's like, don't get people things with the expectation for them to ever say thank you the way you want or give something to you in return. Like, you should be giving people things out of you feeling that you want to gift someone something because they mean something to you. Or, you know, like, you should never give people things with the expectation of anything on the other side, because you will always be let down.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Giovanni was, too. That was that whole Giovanni universe was the exact same thing.
But I think the core of her issue, though, when they were coming back from the tea party, when she was crying about Richard and about, like, not having someone, I think she's so lonely and likes to pretend that she's not. I mean, that house would be awful to be in alone for eternity. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine it. And she needs to get laid.
Yes.
When she's like, I don't think I'll ever have sex again. I'm like, what?
Yeah, like her downside really came after John.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because she wasn't getting her shoe polished, if you will.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, remember when John fucked her so good that she left without her bags?
One of my favorite Dorinda moments. She gets there. That's
the last time she had sex.
She gets to the house, opens her trunk, and says, oh my God, I forgot my bags. And then
She literally was like, John pulled out of her and she's like, I'm going to miss my call time.
She said, we made love and then we were cuddling with each other. Lost track of time. I miss that, Dorinda.
Yeah, same. She needs to get, well, that John does a little too much cocaine for Dorinda.
Oh, John. Dorinda does a little bit too much cocaine.
I know, but I'm just saying that John, I think, was a good influence in the cocaine department.
Have you seen that clip going around from like the reunion a couple of seasons ago? It's
Erroneous. Everyone knows you do drugs, that.
Andy's like, do you mean cocaine? And Bethany's like, yeah, I mean cocaine. And Dorinda's the only one who's like, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. And everybody else is looking down like, don't make eye contact with me.
But Sonia, is it the part where Sonia's like, when Sonia's like, yeah, everybody knows Dorinda drugs.
Casually.
Yeah, we've all known that. Dorinda does drugs.
But also, Sonia would do like a full line of coke on camera and not even realize it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, going back to Jill, this is when like I started to notice Dorinda being more and more mean to Jill, because Jill encourages them to hug it out. And then Dorinda like mocks her about that too. And Jill talks about her relationship with Dorinda since New York, since their houses of New York, and just like how Jill, I think, just wants to have like a nice relationship with her. But I also understand that Jill is so thirsty to be back on the show that somebody might be concerned that her friendship isn't friendship. It's actually just a way for her to get back on a television show. I can see that. But I also think that like Jill would be really sweet and kind to anybody who like is going through a hard time.
Yeah. But I don't know that Jill wants to be back on the show so bad anymore. Like, you think so? I don't know. Seeing Dorinda, I'm like, Dorinda wants to be back on the show.
Yeah. For sure.
But Jill, she's such a different era of reality television. So seeing her with this group of gals, it doesn't work necessarily for her. Like she doesn't fit into this group very well. She doesn't really get how they fight now. Like, I think it just all feels a little different. She feels a little dated. And I think Dorinda feels that and is like bullying her about it, being like, how does it feel to be boring?
Yeah, I also think like Houses of New York, when Jill was on, was more about like society and social climbing and all that kind of stuff.
I run with a fabulous circle of people.
I mean,
that
hello.
Was Jill's tagline. It was amazing.
Iconic. Yeah. And it was very different. Did you watch Gilded Age?
No.
Okay. It's basically Rowney.
Okay. Whoa.
I mean, it's basically Rowney.
I heard mixed things and I just, I wasn't drawn to it.
Maybe you can have pay attention. It's not that exciting, but Christine Baranski is just like,
well, I love Christine like Baranski perfect. Very much. Yeah. And Cynthia Nixon, of course.
Yes. Yeah. I'm fine with Cynthia Nixon, but on the show, she's great. And it's just very much about like New York society and old money and new money and people coming up and trying to fit in and look at that person. They look like they're trying so hard and we don't talk to this person. It was very much like the way Jill treated like Alex or, you know, anybody new that came into the circle, or like how Ramona was acceptable for some groups but not for other groups. And that was like early Real Housewives of New York, because it was about women in an existing society and in an existing group trying to like be forced to hang out with each other, right? Whereas now I feel like most of these shows, well, Real Housewives of New York specifically, it's just ladies who drink. It's like ladies who drunk. That's all it is. So I do feel like, yeah, maybe Jill wouldn't fit so well on that, because Jill barely drinks.
Yeah, she had that whiskey. That was hilarious. Whiskey, I love whiskey, but it is disgusting to the common eye.
Yeah. So they do this prohibition speakeasy night, which is basically Dorinda's way of introducing Bluestone bourbon.
Yeah, which it feels weird that she has that, because she's like never a whiskey drinker on the show. She always has like vodka martinis. Like, I'm shocked she didn't like sell a martini kit.
Yeah. She brought it to the Crappens live show that I was at, and Ben and Ronnie tried it on stage, and they're like, it was very strong and very intense.
Whiskey is literally lighter fluid.
Yeah. I feel like I would be drinking like aftershave.
No, that's like Fireball, which is whiskey. No, what does it taste like? I mean, it tastes, I really like it. There's something very like, there's a lot of flavors to it, especially I like bourbon, which is sweeter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. It's like a very cozy drink.
Okay. I mean,
but like whiskey, more than three whiskeys, you're entering into scary territory.
Yeah, you can't be doing like keg stands with whiskey.
Trust me,
like
I've done, there was an era of my 20s where I would just get that every night. And that's what I would drink all night. And like just whiskey on the rocks. I mean, crazy.
Okay.
The next day,
through the night.
I mean, not like in my bed.
It was like, no. Obviously, when you're like going out, but I'm saying like you wouldn't just have like one glass of whiskey that you would like nurse. You would just like, you were drinking several.
No, I mean, I wouldn't. Yes.
Throughout the night.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
But a lot of my friends drink like that too. And we don't drink like that much anymore because it's just like a little insane. But
there's something really sweet about everybody coming out in their various looks and Jill just like kind of coming out at the very end. And she does this thing that made me so, like, it warmed my heart because I was like, Jill, mama, like, you're. She comes out and she's standing at the top of the lawn and she has like her iPhone out and she's like taking pictures of all the girls. Whenever you see Jill, she's always has her phone out and she's taking pictures of things. It's just like such a,
it's cute.
It's such a mom thing to do.
I like it. It doesn't make me sad. She's just a mom.
I mean, it just makes me sad because I feel like nobody appreciates it there.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't. So Vicky is ready to whoop it up. Are you charmed by Vicky when she whoops it up?
I love when she's having fun because when she's not having fun, she wants you to not have fun. Because when she's having fun, she's rarely fighting with people.
You're right.
She'll whoop it up with her worst enemy.
That's true.
I just love the woohoo. I just love it.
She whoops it up and then she starts to have this emotional confession with Eva. And then
Eva's a star. Eva looks amazing here too.
Amazing.
Let's, I just like that she's looks. Like, I'm gonna wear an androgynous outfit and I'm gonna smoke a blunt this entire week while everyone else is in like peplum dresses. I just love it.
Tamara was wearing the outfit that Mary Cosby wanted Whitney Rose to wear to the Italian dinner.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is exactly what it was. Bop from the same link. Yeah. Because everyone's like, you look so good. I'm like, okay, she looks good for like Halloween, but she's not.
Exactly.
Like, that is Party City, baby.
That is Party City. Like those clothes could just rip right off. I don't even think those are real pants. I'm pretty sure it's a Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas outfit that she's wearing.
Yeah, or like she's in like a gender swapped Guys and Dolls. Yeah. I got a horse right here. His name is Paul Ruby.
This part cracking up because Vicky is so awkward when Tamara starts to get so sexual because the burlesque dancer comes and then Tamara starts to get naked. She's grinding up on Vicky and Vicky goes, I don't know what to do with this information.
that's I think that's when Vicky is so good because she is, that is who she is. Like she's just this insane, she says insane shit. I just wish that she wasn't, you know, Satan reincarnate.
Yeah, she's a full monster. Then they have this post dinner pajama party, and Brandy is on a different television show from these women.
I just love that she's like, y'all, because you know, it's probably like 10 p.m.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I thought we were doing fun shit today. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. She has like no idea how to, like, you know, how Eva says, like, I don't think Jill is malicious. I just think that she has like bad timing with her social cues. Like I'm pretty sure that's Brandy.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. Like Jill and Dorinda are talking about like how they became friends and it's obviously going to go into like the deaths of their husbands.
And he's like, but that's so sweet. I love that. I'm, oh my god, thank you for sharing that. Do you have any tequila here?
Exactly. Now what do you think about this fight that happens between Jill and Dorinda because Jill is casually asking like very annoying questions. Like, can
it
I?
It was so annoying, but it was so cute. Was like, that's so... I say that shit to my friends all the time too. I'm like, can I just like hang out? Like, can I just hang out? Like, yeah. She's just trying to like annoy her. She doesn't like actually. I don't know that she actually thinks she's going to get to sit there the whole time. She just is trying to like fit in. And yeah. Dorinda is like not letting her fit in.
Yes, exactly. Dorinda's like, shut up. You're such a loser. You're so embarrassing, like to her all the time. And it's.
Dorinda, you're the loser.
You're the loser. Just because this is your house doesn't make you a winner.
What do you have?
And can we talk about the amount of ghosts that are probably in that house?
Yeah, that's why she put him up in the lawn at the tree. What's
Richard? I just loved Pedro. Who the fuck is Richard?
The ghosts don't freak me out. I'm like down for a little ghosty house.
Okay.
Because it makes me feel more protected than scared.
Oh, interesting. I feel like any house like that, any estate, any old American estate is filled with the ghosts of black people that were probably sure. mistreated.
Sure.
And murdered.
Well, I would say that's America. That's
yeah. And then they have this like little fight, and then poor.
This fight was electric because. Okay. Are you talking about when they get to the interview room?
Or... Yes. Okay. Tell me your thoughts.
Something I love about this show is that we've pretty much gotten every moment from the trailer for the most part.
Yeah.
By like the first three episodes.
Yeah.
Because this fight would have been a really easy thing to throw in the trailer, but they like save it. And yeah. I was just really surprised that we had more amazing content like this because I loved that it was like they were trying to film their like goodnights and people just kept piling in.
It was so good.
So good. And then all of them squeezed in there. Jill crying. Dorinda started to come for Phaedra.
Yeah. Accosting like, her. Like, move. She said, move over. Like very angrily. And then like, she was Dorinda, like, why
you
are
to,
you?
You need to lay in bed and watch on YouTube Phaedra's read of Kenya about the pizza box. Because if you watch that, you'll never try and come
yeah.
for her.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she screams. I felt so bad for Jill because she's just sitting there with her head basically in her hands. She's crying. And Dorinda's just like finger in her hand, Dorinda-ing at her face, you know?
It's not as charming as it used to be.
It's not because we know
that. The lateral lisp and the shake. Don't say what you said, Dorinda. Say that one more time.
This is an audio medium, and we're doing some of our best Dorinda work.
You're not even seeing my little Tyrannosaurus Rex fingertips.
The hand, it goes up in the sky, and then it.
I think she loses three fingers when she gets drunk because she's always just like pointing with like. She goes like a drunk T-Rex.
She goes into like claw hands. She turns into like claw hands, and then she just like she jabs you with her pointed fingers. Ugh.
Ugh.
What a terrifying lady.
She's scary.
She's so scary. I really think that she thought this was going to be her television show. And Bravo was like, gotcha, bitch.
I mean, it's hilarious that for me, like, Eva and Brandy and Phaedra are the stars. Like, they're really coming through as, like, carrying the show.
Yeah,
I mean, going in, I would have thought that carrying the show would have been Dorinda, Vicky, Tamara.
I mean, even Vicky and Tamara are doing a lot.
They are, but I think they realize that they're not as... Tamara failing at that field day thing, I was like, oh, look how the money have fallen, you bitch.
Okay, but like we texted about Tamara's sudden like kind of like the turns that she's taking on Twitter. Like, yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm surprised, and I think that's also like what she means on this episode when she was like, "Vicky and I have very different views about things. Like, yes, we kind of are coming here as a package, but I think also Tamara realizes that there's a lot of shit that Vicky aligns herself with that Tamara.
Well, Vicky's all QAnon."
Yeah, yeah. She's a full anti-vaxxer.
I don't think Tamara's an idiot.
I think Tamara is not desperate, but I think she wants to be well-liked and she wants to be relevant long enough where she is willing to do some work, not the work, but some work to, like, get up to speed with shit that is right or wrong. You know, whereas Vicky is like, I'm successful enough as I am. I don't need to learn. I don't need to evolve. I've Kodo insurance and my son, Michael.
The thing is, with her life where she lives in Orange County, she literally lives in a white bubble. Mm-hmm. She doesn't just see anyone that doesn't look like her and like, or doesn't even think like her.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if also, like, Eddie, I don't know what Eddie's about. Like, I don't know what
Tamron's about. He gives me QAnon vibes sometimes.
You think so?
Kind of.
But, you know, even conservative women, even some conservative women are angry about Roe being overturned. So, yeah. I mean, okay, I'll give you that, Tamra.
Jill was saying it on Watch Heaven's Live. I don't think she's very liberal.
I mean, she is a hobnobber with the Trumpses.
Wait, is she a Trumper? I don't know.
I don't know if she's a Trumper, but she's very good friends with them. And she
with the Trump family?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, she's pissed.
She talks about Junior and all of that.
Maybe this is the uniting thing.
Maybe.
Maybe this is what we've been waiting for.
Maybe we wanted to destroy several million women's lives in order for the country to come back together. So we could meet in the middle. Look at us laughing about our misery. Also, I think it does help that they have, well, Allie. So this is what I wonder about Dorinda, right? Is like, what is her relationship like with Hannah? As I can see Allie, Jill's daughter, being like, Mom, that's stupid. Like, you're being ridiculous. I don't know if Hannah is the type of person to ever correct her mother and her behavior.
I feel like she's not around this behavior that often, though. Like, I think Dorinda exhibits this, like, in certain territories. Like, I don't think she gets like this when she's just alone with, like, Lynn and Hannah.
Yeah, but, I mean, I also wonder if, like, Dorinda is the kind of mom who's like, you know, Hannah, all I have is you because look how terrible these people are to me. And then she's like, all right, well, I guess I can't tell you how fucking terrible you're being because you're probably going to hold it against me. Or, alternatively, Hannah is just like her mother.
I can see that.
So that was it. That. Any other thoughts?
Great ep. Can't wait to see what happens next in the diary room with the girls all in that little chaise lounge.
That confessional room is. What is happening in there?
See, I love it. I love that it's like, this is our attic that we're using as a confessional room. Is it an attic? It feels like an attic. Like, you don't really have I feel like there aren't many attics there. I feel like people have basements, right?
I feel like it's a room that they just made to look like an attic.
So my house at home in Texas, our attic is on the same floor with the bedrooms in
We have a little
lofted attic, but there's like a full on door that you open and it's above the garage, and that's where we store our stuff. Kind of looks like that. So like, I could see it being something like that.
Because to me, it looked like they took a room that existed and were like, let's just throw all this shit that we need to get out of the way into this room. Oh, look, that's fun. Now we can make it into the confessional room.
Yeah, I think that is partially it. Yeah.
That's probably it. Yeah. It's do you like the decor in Bluestone Manor?
No, of course not. I don't think anyone but Dorinda likes it.
It's maximalist, very maximalist.
I'm not a fan of a color couch. Like, couches to me are, you know, we got our tans, we got our browns, we got our grays. Mm-hmm. Maybe the biggest color I would do is like a foresty green. Maybe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When we get into when you want me to recline and enjoy myself on a purple velvet couch, like, I'm not relaxed on that. That is not cozy.
Yeah, chartreuse. That's one thing this house does not
have. They don't have like a cozy TV room.
Yeah, I haven't seen a single television. Right? Yeah.
Maybe the room with the pool table.
Yeah. Also, doesn't Dorinda's room look like shit? Where there's definitely food and mice.
Yeah. Of course. It's so, there's no way that room doesn't smell like mothballs too.
Oh, horrible. Oh my God.
Although I do love that she's like, I know I'm filming a television show, but mama has to nap. And watch like Law and Order SVU.
I like how she's like, there's something enchanting about the manor that everybody goes to sleep at 4 o'clock.
No, you just scream at everyone to go to sleep.
It's also, you've been day drinking, you idiot. Like,
right. Everyone wants to take a nap after a couple glasses of wine at 2.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Can you tell everybody where to find you, where you could be heard, and yes, all of those things?
Yes, you can follow me at The Tom Hamlin on Instagram. Podcast is Dumpster Dive, where we dive into reality television of today and nostalgia. It is with my sister Kix, so tune into that. And hope everyone stays well before the world ends. So cheers to you. Do what you need to do.
Also, excuse me, can you please plug your Twitter? Because you guys have been doing some good tweeting.
Oh my God. There's like no one that, it's, what is it? Is it two dumpster divas?
It's just me. I love it.
Do you like my tweet today that I said the US stays in coup era? Because mama, we are in coup era.
'The Reality Is' now on Patreon, and here are some of our fabulous supporters. Chastity Davis. Don't be fooled by my name. The only thing I abstain from is your bullshit. Jessica Riley. Where I come from, money can buy you anything, but I'll take the garbage plate. Seiran Hayati. In Sweden, we have ABBA, IKEA, and if you mess with me, some other four-letter words. Kelly Payfer. I may be from Down Under, but don't ever underestimate me. Richie D. If you can't be cool, you can't be with Caduce. Megan Shaw. I may be a model, but I'll never be your model minority. Becca Simon. It gets icy where I'm from, so you know I'll bring the heat. Jill Hirsch. Your petty drama can't take this warrior down. Jamie Allrunner. Where I come from, we're known for our great lakes, but I'm just known for my great ass. Sarah Gibbs. You may not like the cut of my jib, but that's what you get from Sarah Gibbs. Maria M. Where I'm from, they sing God Save the Queen, so I guess you can call me a god. Jill Walsh. I made it up this hill myself, and I'll kick any jack off. Jesse Willis. I may not run in traffic, but I'll give you a run for your money. Eleanor Manning. I run with a fabulous circle of people, and they're not even on my payroll. John Friedman. Diamonds aren't a girl's best friend. John Friedman is. Sarah Watkins Bilstein. Playtime is over. This mama means business. Laura Zielinski. Whether it's breast pumping or fist pumping, this Jersey girl brings the party. Amanda Agosti. Everything is bigger in Texas, and my heart is no exception. Tracy Masters. When you're the master of your own destiny, no one can ever take you down. Marl Farsi. Reading is fundamental, and in Farsi, the reads are monumental. Tracy Newman. My presence is a gift, so remember the thank you note. Lola Del Rio. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets, and I get it all. Adade Adedoko. It may look like I'm stirring the pot, but I'm actually just smoking it. Deepa Kanapoli. Some people say I have secrets, but at least they're not federal indictments. Jada. People are intimidated by my great success and my great ass. Naveen Jonathan. I'll give you the shirt off my back and also my unsolicited opinion. Adil Ibrahim. Some things are too hot to handle, like me and the tea I spill. Srinidhi Subramaniam. I have 4 degrees and 8 syllables and 0 fucks to give. Beth Bayer. The secret to my success is staying out of your BS. Shannon Anthony. There's no fun in moderation, but there's plenty of shade. Rita Ryan. Don't be fooled by my Midwest charm, because I'm nobody's fool. Brianna Tony. Some people strive for perfection, but I'm already there. And lastly, Tanisha. While others are turning tables, I'm dancing on them.